present Gerstenstein. Makers of the big new Mars Bar welcome you to Curtain Time. The gaiety of spring fills the lobby and everyone is eager for the new play. And here, as always, at an opening night, is the well-known man about town, your host, Patrick Allen.
Good evening.
Well, Mr. Allen, they say that in the spring...
Yes, Marn, I know. And tonight we have a nice mixture of comedy and romance. But there's the overture, so we'd better hurry inside the theater for tonight's production of Curtain Time.
Tickets, please. Thank you, sir. Seventh row center. Seat 7 and 8.
Thank you. Well, the lights will be dimmed in just a moment, so let's glance through the program. Harry Elders and Nanette Sargent, supported by the Curtain Time Players, I start tonight in Engagement for Two by Roger Vornholt. Mr. Elders plays the part of Charles Hudson, and Miss Sargent is cast as Sally Kirby.
Curtain time!
There's the call for the first act of
Curtain
Engagement
time.
For Two. The scene is the living room in the home
Curtain
of Ralph Kirby,
time.
With his daughter Sally, lives in a small college town. It's evening, and at the moment, Sally is stretched out on the sofa reading a book. Her father enters.
Hello, my dear. Hello. What are you reading?
Oh, hello, Father.
Principles of Psychology. One of Charles' books, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you like having Charles around the house, Sally?
Oh, he's all right. For a professor.
Well, that's faint praise, but he is a nice young chap. And after all, with the housing shortage being as it is...
And the fact that we had a vacant room.
Of course, of course. Have you seen the evening paper?
It's around someplace.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
Father, I need your advice.
Yes?
I am face to face with a terrible problem.
My dear, your life is just one long string of problems.
Well, this one is serious. It's about Gerald and Henry.
Oh?
Father, which one do you like best, Gerald or Henry?
Well, I really couldn't say. What do you think?
Well, Gerald is sweet. He takes me to the most exciting places, and he's got scads of money.
Well, I wish he wouldn't keep you out quite so late.
And then Henry, well, he isn't rich, but he is intellectual.
Yes, he's so intellectual, I don't understand what he's talking about.
Well, just the same, he's very talented, and when they publish his book, why, he'll be famous. Oh, they're both absolutely wonderful.
But you can't marry both of them.
That's the problem. Neither one has asked me to marry him.
Oh. Well, aren't you getting a little ahead of yourself?
But, Father, I can't wait forever. Every day I'm getting older and older.
Yes, my dear. We're all afflicted with the same disease.
Oh, Father, you're impossible.
Hello, Mr. Kirby.
Oh, hello, Charles.
Sally, I've mislaid my pipe somewhere.
It's over there on the mantel.
Mm. Oh, thanks.
And how are things at the university, Charles?
Oh, a little better. Now the new building's finished.
Yes, I can imagine.
But we're still pretty crowded. I've got over 100 students in my introductory psychology class.
This thing suddenly have changed around here since the days when your father and I attended the university.
Professor, perhaps you can help me.
Sally, for the 100th time, I'm not a professor. I'm just an instructor.
Well, you will be in another year. Charles, please say you'll help.
Oh, okay. What is it?
Look, if you two are going to discuss Gerald and Henry, I'm taking my paper out on the front porch.
What's this about Gerald and Henry?
Nothing, except they won't propose.
Well, that is serious.
Don't you make fun of me.
What have you got there?
One of your psychology books. I thought it might give me an idea.
Well, has it?
No, it's too complicated. Professor, what do you think I should do?
Well, Sally, proposals are a little out of my line.
Oh, but you're so brilliant, you must know.
Thank you,
Sally. Well, you've got all those college degrees, and you're still just a little boy.
Well, don't tell anyone. I might lose my job.
Oh, you know what I mean. But you should be able to think of something.
Well, let's see.
Think real hard.
You've never had Gerald and Henry here at the same time, have you?
I know. They don't even know each other.
Well, why not have them over? Give them a chance to get acquainted.
Have them here together?
Sure.
but they're as different as night and day, and they wouldn't get along.
That's the idea.
Oh, but you know how Henry is, and as for Gerald...
Sally, how much of that psychology book did you read?
Just the first two chapters.
And you should have read on further. You'd have found out that jealousy is one of man's strongest emotions.
Jealousy?
Yes. We're all motivated by it, more or less. In fact, it's the cause of more cockeyed trouble than you can shake a stick at.
Oh, gee, I never thought of that.
So why not get the two of them together and watch the sparks fly?
Professor, I think you've got something there.
Well, if there's any fire under the smoke, it'll bring it out, all right.
All I have to do is invite them over.
Oh, no, Sally, don't carry it too far. Your father wouldn't like bodies cluttering up the living room.
Oh, Professor, the luckiest day of my life was the day you came here to live.
Well, I'd still be at the YMCA if your father hadn't taken pity on me.
I'll phone them right away. Will you be home tonight?
I can be.
Then you can be a sort of a referee.
All right. But just one thing, Sally.
What?
Be sure they check their weapons at the door.
Why do you deliberately have to twist things? I didn't mean what I said that way at all.
But you implied it. You said it was dollars that built this country. And you're dead wrong. It took brains. Am I right, Professor?
I'd say it took a little of both.
Now, look, I try to make it clear. Brains cannot function without dollars, and dollars cannot function without brains.
How do you manage, Gerald, with just dollars?
Not Henry.
Well, at least I can get my clothes on without the help of a valet.
I resent that statement.
Gerald, please.
Sally, we've done nothing but argue the whole evening. Maybe if some people try to be sociable...
That's the trouble with people, always trying to be sociable.
Everyone likes to be sociable once in a while, Henry.
Oh, I didn't mean you, Professor. You're a useful member of society.
Was that crack meant for me?
Well, if the shoe fits, put it on.
Sally, I've always considered myself well-mannered, but...
Well, what do you know? It's 12 o'clock.
Oh, goodness me. Where's the time gone?
Hey, I've got to be going.
Well, I'm staying a while. I want to have a few words with the professor.
Oh, you're both going.
But, Sally...
I'll see you to the door, Gerald. Come along.
Oh, all right. I guess there's no use arguing.
So long, chum.
Good night, Professor. It was nice seeing you.
Thanks, Gerald. Good night.
Professor?
Yes, Henry?
Do you think Sally likes Gerald?
Why, yes, I think so.
But she can't be serious.
Well, you never can tell.
Of course, I don't blame her for going out with him. He takes her places and spends money on her. But she can't be in love with him, can she?
It's possible, Henry.
Yeah. Well, I've made up my mind.
Oh? About what?
About Sally. I figured on waiting until my book was published before asking her to marry me, but I've got to move fast.
Well, that sounds like a good idea.
I can't take the chance of Gerald and his $1 million getting ahead of me. Not that Sally would be influenced by money, you understand?
Oh, no, of course not.
Yes, sir, I'll do it tonight. Professor, you're a pretty good guy. Well, Professor?
Well, I've still got another year before
Yes, sir, it just goes to prove that some minds can't be ruined by education. You're okay, Professor.
Here's your coat, Henry. I'll help you on with it.
Thank you, Sally. Well, I'll be seeing you, Professor.
And good night, Henry. And good luck.
Yeah, thanks.
Dummy.
Have they gone, Charles?
Oh, Mr. Kirby, I thought you'd gone to bed.
Oh, I did, but I couldn't sleep. I kept hearing noises.
You mean you kept hearing Gerald and Henry? They just left.
Charles, I don't like all this scheming. It's improper. Any new developments?
Well, I think Henry is proposing to Sally right now in the front hall.
Oh, dear me, a very drafty place. I hope she doesn't catch cold.
And as for you and me, well, we may as well go to bed.
Oh, no, let's wait for Sally. Besides, these sandwiches look appetizing. Have one, Charles?
Oh, Father, you're still up.
Oh, yes, my dear. Charles and I have been waiting up for you.
Well, you needn't have bothered.
How did things go, Sally?
All right, I guess.
Did Henry propose?
Uh-huh.
Oh, then it's all settled. Oh, I like things to be settled, don't you, Charles?
Oh, of course, but, Sally, what's wrong?
Nothing.
I've seen that look before. Let's have it.
I know. Gerald proposed too. Isn't that so?
Well, yes.
Two proposals, both in the same evening.
Sally, let's have the rest of it.
But, The rest of us?
Stop stalling.
All right, I'm engaged to both of them.
You're...
Don't ask me how it happened. It just happened.
What are you going to do?
Do? Well, I think I'll sit down.
The curtain falls on the first act of tonight's Curtain Time play, starring Harry Elders and Nanette Sargent. And now, Myron Wallace. These April days, all of us are in the mood for a little pleasure and relaxation in the midst of a hard-working day. And one little treat which is always a pleasure, no matter where you are or what you are doing, is the taste treat of the big new 10-cent Mars bar. For with each bite of this luscious Mars confection, you will enjoy the rare flavor combination of a thick milk chocolate coating, heaped extra high and packed with crunchy, fresh, whole toasted almonds. All over a soft, snow-white nougat center that is creamy, smooth, and rich. Here is truly the rare treat of candy at its finest. For the finest quality candy bar of them all, just try a Mars bar. The call for the second act of Engagement for Two, brought to you by the makers of the big new Mars bar. Unable to choose between Gerald and Henry, Sally Kirby sought the help of a young psychology professor, Charles Hudson, and as a result is engaged to two men. Well, it's now the next evening. While Charles reads and takes notes, Sally sits staring at him.
Sally.
Yes, Professor.
Do you have to sit there and stare at me?
Well, I read in some book that if you concentrate hard enough, people will do exactly what you want them to.
But I'm trying to make some notes for a lecture, and I can't. Not with you giving me the evil eye.
Don't. I think you're absolutely hateful, refusing to help me.
What happened last night, Sally, was your own fault.
But you know I didn't mean to get engaged to two men.
Sally, why in heaven's name did you do it?
I don't know. Maybe because they're both so sweet.
That's no excuse.
Well, it's the only one I could think of.
Sally, whether you know it or not, you're really two persons.
You mean like Siamese twins?
I mean you've got two personalities. One is attracted to Gerald and the other to Henry.
Really?
Yes.
Well, gee, I'm a regular Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Hardly that, Sally. You see, Gerald takes you to nightclubs where there's music and dancing and lots of people. That appeals to one side of your personality.
Well, yes.
And Henry appeals to the part of you that likes solitude, long walks in the country, and reading books.
Oh, dear. I guess I'm not quite normal.
Don't be silly. But you will have to decide between them.
I know that, but how?
Sally, would you marry a man who suits only one of your personalities?
No, I guess not.
Well, then find out about Gerald and Henry. See whether they like all the things you like, not just half of them.
But what should I do?
Why not reverse things?
Reverse them?
Yes. Instead of going to nightclubs with Gerald, go to nightclubs with Henry.
Oh, I get it. And instead of going out with Gerald, we'll spend our evenings here talking about books.
That's the idea.
Oh, there's just one trouble.
What?
Well, I'm sure Henry won't like nightclubs. And as for Gerald, well, he'd be bored just sitting at home or going for a walk.
Ah, but have you tried it?
Well, no.
Then give it a whirl. And the one who best suits your personality, well, he's the one to marry.
Charles, do you really think it will work?
I'll try it and see.
All right, I will.
Good. Now I can get back to my lecture.
Why, it's so logical, Charles. It almost stuns me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll marry the one whose personality is split, just the way mine is.
Well, you can put it that way.
Oh, Professor, you've got a tremendous mind. A vast, gigantic...
Sally, hadn't you better get started?
Oh, yes, right this minute. And thanks so much, Professor. Thanks a million.
I'm coming, Sally, as fast as I can. Hey,
Gerald, look out!
For the love of Mike.
Are you hurt?
Not really, I suppose.
Oh, here, let me help you up.
No, thanks. Now that I'm down here, I'm going to rest a bit.
I told you those shoes were no good for walking.
But I thought you meant we were going walking in the park. By the way, where are we? We've been walking for miles.
We're on Indian Hill. When we get to the top, we'll be able to see the whole countryside.
I'm satisfied to see it from here.
Well, I was hoping you'd enjoy a little walk, Gerald.
Sally, where do you get these weird ideas?
Weird? Well, they aren't weird. Henry likes to go on hikes with me, and so does the professor.
Well, you're engaged to me, not to Henry or the professor.
But I was sure you'd like walking.
Just as far as the altar, Sally.
Gerald, let's climb to the top of the hill.
Oh, no. Not another step.
Gerald, please.
When I get up, I'm going back to the car as fast as I can.
Oh? Well, you do that, and our engagement is off.
Sally, you can't mean you'd break our engagement over a little thing like this.
Yes, I would. It's important to me.
Oh, Sally, be reasonable.
Gerald, I'm glad I found out when I did. We're incompatible.
All right, then, we're incompatible. But take pity on my poor aching feet. Let's go back to civilization.
I never realized it, Gerald. Our personalities aren't flipped the same way.
What? What are you talking about?
Oh, it's not your fault. It isn't anyone's fault. Gerald, I am climbing to the top of Indian Hill. I've got to think.
Okay, you go think. I'm going to take off my shoes.
Come on, Henry. Let's dance.
Maybe a little later, Sally.
Oh, but you've been saying that all evening, and all you've done since we got here is write in that notebook.
Yeah, I know. Sally, look over there.
Oh, where?
At that guy at the second table, the one with the paper hat.
Well, what about him?
Boy, what a character. He looks like a small-town banker on his annual spree, fat, 40, and full of champagne.
Well, aren't you going to write that down?
I'll say I am. Sally, there's enough material here for a dozen books.
Well, it's nice you think so.
And I'm the guy who didn't like nightclubs. Why, it's places like this where people reveal their real characters.
I wish you'd dance with me, Henry.
Yes, sir. I've found more material here in 3 hours than I did the entire week I spent in Flatbush.
When I go to a nightclub with Gerald or the professor, they always dance with me.
Sally, look at that girl sitting in the corner. She keeps watching the door.
Write it down, Henry. Write it down.
Gosh, I'm having a swell time.
Well, I'm not. You haven't danced with me or even talked to me.
Just a minute. I want to get that down.
Oh, that darn notebook.
There. Now, what'd you say?
Henry, please take me home.
Okay.
Or would you rather stay here and take some more notes?
No, no, I'm finished.
Well, so are we.
Huh?
We're finished. For good.
Oh. And then what happened, Sally?
I came home. Oh, Father, I feel just terrible.
About Gerald or Henry?
That's just it. I don't know exactly. But I feel terrible just the same.
Well, now...
Father, if I'd only left things alone, if only I hadn't got scientific...
Sally, my
everything
dear...
Everything was perfect. I even had two fiancés and...
Well, I hardly approved of that.
But, Father, now I don't even have one.
If Sally, why don't you talk things over with Charles in the morning?
Well, maybe I will.
All right. Now let's both go to bed.
Father!
No, Sally, don't do that. You nearly scared me out.
Father, who takes me to nightclubs when Gerald is out of town?
Well, Charles, occasionally.
And who goes walking with me when Henry is working on one of his books?
My dear.
Why, the professor, of course.
Yes.
And who is always kind and sweet and understanding and very helpful when it comes to wiping the dinner dishes.
My dear, I don't quite see what all this is leading up to.
Well, I do. Father, do you know why I couldn't decide between Gerald and Henry?
Why? Well, not exactly, Sally.
But, Father, it's as clear as the nose on your face.
Hmm?
I'm in love with the professor.
Before we bring you the third act of tonight's Curtain Time play, starring Harry Elders and Nanette Sargent, here is Myron Wallace.
The next time you feel hungry for the taste of really fine candy, just treat yourself to the taste thrill of the big new 10-cent Mars bar. You will enjoy every bite of this luscious toasted almond bar right from the moment you first open the tightly sealed wrapper and recognize that enticing scent of fine, pure milk chocolate. Then, with each bite, you taste the delightful combination of an extra thick, pure milk chocolate coating that is heaped high and packed with crunchy, fresh, whole toasted almonds, all over a soft, snow-white nougat center that is creamy, rich, and smooth. Together, the milk chocolate, crisp almonds, and soft nougat make Mars, the toasted almond bar, truly one of the greatest of candy triumphs. For the finest quality candy bar of them all, just try a Mars bar.
Curtain time!
There's the call for the third act of Engagement for Two, brought to you by the makers of the big new Mars bar. After getting engaged both to Gerald and Henry, Sally Kirby has discovered the man she's really most compatible with is Charles Hudson, the young psychologist. Well, Charles, of course, doesn't know this yet. It's now the next day. Sally is struggling with a big ladder outside the house.
Oh, this darn thing. It's so heavy. Well, if I can't carry it, I'll drag it.
Hey, Sally, what are you doing?
You never mind. Oh, well, finally.
Look, what in the dickens are you doing with that ladder?
If you were a gentleman, Professor, you'd help.
Well, all right, but...
Then help me lift it up. I want it right there.
There? Well, isn't that your window?
Correct. Now, up with it, please.
Well, all right. Is that where you want it?
Yes, that should do.
Sally, what's this all about?
Maybe it should be just a little more to the right.
Okay. That better?
Yes, much. Thank you.
What's on your mind? Burglary?
No, just an elopement.
An elopement?
Uh-huh. Tonight at the stroke of midnight.
But whom are you eloping with?
Henry. He's awfully sweet, don't you think?
But I thought that was all over.
It was, but we're engaged again. Isn't it wonderful?
When did all this happen?
Last night. You see, when I went to bed, I kept thinking, am I in love with Gerald or with Henry?
Yes. Yeah.
Then I went to sleep and had the strangest dream.
Yes, it must have been.
Gerald and Henry were fighting, in the dream, of course.
Naturally.
And then Gerald knocked Henry down, and I was so mad.
I trust Henry wasn't hurt.
But he was.
Oh, that's too bad.
So I went over to Henry, and I took his poor little bruised head in my hands and kissed it.
Very touching.
Oh, Professor, I must be in love with Henry. Doesn't that make sense?
Not to me, it doesn't.
Well, it does to me. Anyway, I phoned Henry, and we're going to elope.
But look, do you really need a ladder?
Professor, how else can you elope from a second-story window?
Why, there's always a front stairs.
What's romantic about walking down the front stairs?
Well, maybe it's not romantic, Sally, but it's a darn sight safer.
Well, I'm going to elope the way I want to.
Yeah, and probably break your fool neck.
I will not. When Henry comes at midnight, he'll whistle and I'll climb down the ladder.
And then you'll mount his trusty steed and ride away while Henry yells, "Hi-yo, Silver!"
We'll do nothing of the sort.
Sally, are you sure you want to do this?
Of course I'm sure.
Well, I'd hate to see you make a mistake.
I said I was sure.
Okay, Sally. The best of luck. And take care of yourself.
You great big dope. If you're not here at midnight to stop me, I'll never forgive you. There he is now. It's only 11:30. Henry, you can just go ahead and whistle. At least until the professor hears you. Oh, dear. All right, Henry. I'll be right down. Oh, gosh, it's dark. I can't even see the ladder. Oh, here it is. Now, if I could just... Now... I'll just slam the window good and hard. Ooh. I'll bet you heard that, Professor.
Sally.
I'm coming. These darn high heels. I'll have to take them off. There. Now the other one. Oh, I'm sorry, Henry. Just a few more rungs. Oh, I made it.
Are you ready, Sally?
What? I guess so.
Good. The car's right here. Get in.
Henry, shouldn't we say goodbye to Father? After all, he might...
Get in.
Oh, all right, but you don't have to push.
All set.
Henry, there's something you should know. Don't start the car, Henry.
Already started.
But I thought things over very carefully. Henry, you stop this car immediately.
Thank you.
Getting married is a serious step, and don't you think we should talk it over? Besides, I promised to bake a cake for Father, and if I don't, he'll be furious. You know how furious he gets, don't you?
Uh-huh.
Henry, those lights up ahead, it's a drive-in. Let's stop.
Okay.
Oh, you don't mind stopping, do you?
Uh-huh.
I'm really starved, and I...
Well, here we are.
Why, Professor...
I thought you might know me in the light, you little idiot.
Oh, Professor, it's you.
Sally, you ought to be spanked.
Oh, don't you dare.
The idea of running away with Henry. You know you can't marry him.
Oh, I can't?
No. And that's the idea of this ride. It'll give Romeo time to realize there's not going to be any balcony scene, tonight or any night.
Oh, poor Henry.
Oh, poor Henry. You should be locked up for your own protection.
So you do love me?
No, don't be silly. Just that somebody has to look out for you.
Oh, Charles, it's wonderful having you in love with me.
I'm not in love with you. You're flighty, unpredictable, unstable.
But you love me just the same. You
haven't got a grain of sense in that head of yours. Just that as a friend of the family, it was my duty to
fall in love with me.
No, to protect you. If I didn't, it'd be criminal. That's it, criminal.
Are you through?
No. I'm going to...
Oh, Professor. There was nothing rational about that, kid.
Well, what if I am in love with you? What are you going to do about it?
Oh, marry you, of course.
Well, all right. But I should have my head examined.
Come here, Professor. Come here.
The curtain falls on the last act of another Curtain Time play, brought to you by the makers of the big new Mars Bar. Tonight, Curtain Time starred Harry Elders and Nanette Sargent. The supporting players were Arthur Peterson, Maurice Copeland, and George Caesar. The Curtain Time music is arranged and conducted by Bert Farber, and the entire production is directed by Harry Holcomb. Next Saturday, Curtain Time will present a comedy romance entitled Dear Molly Merridew. And now I'll join this gay theater crowd as it leaves the merchandise mart, many on their way to the exciting after theater spots here in Chicago. Until next week, then, this is Patrick Allen reminding you of your date every Saturday, same station, when the makers of the big new Mars Bar present
Curtain Time!
Monday night, be sure to hear Dr. IQ, the Metal Banker. And next Saturday, be with us again for Curtain Time. Remember, for the finest quality candy bar of them all, just try a Mars bar.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.